meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But occasionally I end up at one by myself. I thought that might happen today. And so I had prepped a bunch of news to read, and I can do that anyway. But what do you have? Anything? Let me turn off my music here. Sorry about that. You have any New Hampshire independent report?
I did notice that there was a letter to the editor written at the Laconia Sun some days ago. I believe that got some pass around in the NHXit community. I know Bonnie responded in a comment. I suggested that she may want to write a letter to respond, because comments will only be seen maybe by a fraction of the people who happen to read that particular article online, whereas these newspapers are... A lot of people don't think they're going to publish. They do, don't they, Dave? Like, when you write letters to the editor, in your experience, I know this is true for me, they've almost always published whatever it is that I've sent into newspapers, and it's honestly been a while since I've done one, but these newspapers seem so desperate for content, they will literally publish whatever sort of response that comes in. Especially, they also want to feel like people are having it out within their pages, and that probably brings more eyes to them. So I think they're highly likely to publish responses to these things.
I wish that was the case, but this one doesn't. I've never known them to publish anything I've sent them. They're an unusually hostile paper. The Concord Monitor and the Keene Sentinel will generally publish.
Okay, I only have the experience with the Sentinel then, and yeah, that's my experience with them. Is they'll publish.
The Union Leader used to reliably publish, but they also do not anymore. So again, talk radio is the only medium that is still functioning properly. And of course, a lot of talk radio shows have gone out of business. So the noose is getting tighter. But again, it may loosen, you know, when you least expect it, because Odyssey could take off at some point. It seems to be getting more popular. I certainly know that I watch it now when I didn't used to.
Okay, that's a good sign.
And the number of hits that videos get on Odyssey is pretty small still. So it's not worth going out and producing a video anymore. They've made the whoever did this to YouTube or took over YouTube or whatever has really they've succeeded in making it impractical to create videos as a person who's me. That's for sure.
Yeah, I really like Odyssey. We're talking, for those that don't know, about the Free Stater created video sharing site that exists to compete with YouTube. It is based sort of loosely on the library backend, which is a media sharing protocol that can't be censored. Although Odyssey itself is a little more centralized than library, they still rely on library. From what I heard the creator, Jeremy Kaufman, saying on an interview recently, that Odyssey still, they've got centralized servers for their videos, for their primary sort of sourcing of, streaming out the video. But if that centralized server is to go down, it will then rely on the library network. So it's sort of a mix of both worlds, but ultimately run by people that are friendly to freedom. So it's a pretty great platform, and that's why I've started putting all of my videos on both YouTube and Odyssey. And I've actually I truncate all the YouTube videos to like two to 5 minutes at most, and I put a notice down there at the bottom saying this video is incomplete, and if you want to see the whole thing, you got to go to Odyssey. Oh, we just lost Dave. So, or did we lose Dave? It still says recording. That's weird. Dave? Are you back?
You were breaking up, so something happened, and I don't know.
Good to be me.
That's the first time that's happened. I'm going to adjust my performance settings.
It was interesting because the little recording light still showed at the top of my screen, even though you were the one who hit the record button. So I guess these are not recorded locally. The Jitsi is actually doing the recording, I presume, and then I've never actually done recording through Jitsi, so I don't know what's the process.
You log into Dropbox and then you hit record.
Huh. Okay. And so you have to have a Dropbox account then.
I do. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. So yeah, that's all I saw, Dave. Was just that Laconia Sun hit piece letter to the editor. It It's been a few weeks since we've had Mike Sylvia on these meetings, so we haven't gotten an update directly from him. I have been checking on a weekly basis the New Hampshire Legislative Service request list, because over time they are filling in the bill numbers as they assign them, but so far we do not yet have an official bill number for the CACR, the constitutional amendment that has been proposed. We're still waiting on that detail.
Okay. In New Hampshire, NH Exit activist Therese Grinnell will be in court on Friday, but I don't have the details. It's a district court, but she didn't post the details except for
it's just an arraignment, although it is expected to have a large turnout of supporters Friday morning. I actually might have the time here if you give me a sec. Nope, I don't have the time, but if arraignments are usually bright and early, so expect 8:30, 9 a.m. For that. And that is for the multiple arrests, the 9 people that were arrested at the governor executive council meeting where they rejected the $27 million bribe from the federal government and then arrested 9 people prior to doing that. But then a few weeks later, they apparently had a secret agenda at one of these meetings where they then passed an acceptance of $22 million from the federal government. So the very same people who voted to reject it when they were being watched reversed their positions when they weren't being watched a few weeks later.
Yeah, secret agenda is a good way to put that. I hadn't thought of that. Because it wasn't really a secret meeting, I don't think. I don't think they were failing to announce.
Correct. They have meetings every 2 weeks for the executive council. So it wasn't a secret meeting, but the item itself was not listed on the agenda. And so therefore, the hundreds of people that have been coming to oppose such items did not know. And so they didn't come.
Yeah. Well, you know, you don't have to. Well, again, back in the days when it was practical to make videos or to go out of your way to make a video anyway. You know, I used to go to executive council meetings no matter what was going on. It was just fun to be there. There's always something dramatic that would happen to me or something interesting that would go on. And
well, I suspect a lot of these people had to take time off, you know, because these meetings are held usually during the work week and during the work day. So, you know, these people had to make special provision to go. Most of them, you know, we don't know. They weren't the majority of them weren't Free Staters. They're just locals that care about this issue.
Well, you know, for those who think that it was effective, at least in New Hampshire, to make it impossible, you know, if they thought they won by making it impractical to do videos, there's always a fallback position, right? There's always something else we can do if they ban or restrict something we're doing. And we wouldn't have an independence drive if we didn't have all this stuff going on, like censorship and drones coming through your window.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I mean, this is definitely going to fire people up. Lots of people are seemingly in favor of independence, so I think we're still on a good track. It's just it's going to be, I think, a little bit of a lull here as we get into the holidays, I expect, as far as, you know, people want to go and then have a Thanksgiving gathering and then whatever, you know, religious services they have in the month of December. So I expect we're gonna have a bit of a lull over the next few weeks, but who knows? You never know. I mean, it's certainly last year during December, activism was hot because we had the protests going on outside of the governor's house that were hot and heavy during this season. So, you know, I may be wrong. There may be something that really lights a fire under people in the holidays.
Well, if you think about it, you know, a lot of people will say, well, you know, how does independence help in terms of, the censorship, the big censorship that has happened in the United States over the last year or two has been on YouTube. And how does independence help with that? It's a private company. You know, how would you being independent affect YouTube? Well, it might not actually directly affect YouTube, but I can tell you what it did affect, what being part of the union has affected, and that is Odyssey and Library. The federal government sued either both of them or at least Library. And they're shaking them down for $2 million, I think.
I don't know. I'm getting some serious feedback there. Okay, just went away. I know that Odyssey is fighting, or Library is fighting them on that, and who knows how many more years this thing is going to drag out. They are looking for support. They have already paid, I think, upwards of $1 million worth to attorneys to fight the SEC on this. Ultimately, they're saying, you know, if they lose this thing, it could be a major strike, a major blow against all cryptocurrency freedom. And the SEC is lashing out at every organization they can. They're attacking decentralized finance groups as well, and they're attacking stablecoins. So it's definitely, you know, the Crypto Six is just the tip of a big iceberg of federal infringement upon the world of cryptocurrency. When New Hampshire secedes, we will truly be a crypto mecca and a safe place for people to locate their crypto businesses.
I didn't really make clear that the lawsuit is directed against the New Hampshire businesses, right? The Odyssey and Library, I think, are both New Hampshire businesses, or at least they originally were. Library still is.
Yeah.
But these are Manchester-based operations, or at least Library is. And so if we were an independent country, if we could become independent in the middle of this lawsuit, it would cut this lawsuit in two.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely would. Although they still continue to harass companies, even though they aren't even based in the United States. I mean, that's how obtuse intrusive the federal government gang is. I saw something recently about a group called Terra, T-E-R-R-A. They're doing a stablecoin. They're doing a decentralized U.S. dollar stablecoin, which is kind of very interesting setup that they've got, and they're based out of South Korea, but the SEC recently sent them some sort of a threatening notice, and so they actually want to go to fight them. And I just don't understand why somebody in another country, in another completely different political jurisdiction, would even bother writing back to these people. That just bewilders me. That's what happened with Telegram last year, I think it was. Telegram was beckoned by the U.S. federal government. I think it was the SEC. They were about to launch their token that they'd raised like $1 billion with for over the previous years, and the SEC had some judge issue some sort of an injunction saying they couldn't do it, and they actually went along with it. It's like, you guys are based in Russia. Why do you care what the SEC has to say? I just don't understand that attitude.
Oh, man, that's the one place you'd think they'd be safe from the feds, and you know, they'd also be safe from the Chi-Coms to a large extent, you know. Well, yeah, I mean, again, it's like when I was writing up this jail protocol, like all the different things each of us can do each time we get put in jail. And it's just amazing to me how helpless people act once someone says you're under arrest. It's like, oh, hands up. I'm never going to do anything else. I'm just done until I get out. Right. Then they go back into action. Right. And they do. And most people do go back into action after they let them out. But it's like they act as though they are not. They act as though they don't exist while they're in jail. Right. Mm. There's a thousand things you can do from jail. You don't have any time. You don't have anything else to do. Right. But it's like.
Well, I don't know if there's a thousand things you can do, but, you know, you can definitely respond to mail that people send you, and you can certainly read books. And you know, you can work on yourself. You can do some meditation and things like that. But you can blog from the inside.
I'm actually thinking a little bit more about all the things that happen between the moment where they tell you you're under arrest and the moment you walk in, the moment you're actually inside the jail. Mm-hmm. People don't think about that. Like, they just walk to the jail, right? Mm-hmm. No, you can be dragged. You can walk slowly. You can scream.
You can be dragged, but you will be you will catch a resisting arrest charge for that. So you have to keep that in mind if you're looking to minimize the amount of charges that you catch. That's a tough one to fight.
Well, then you can walk slowly. Again, yep. you don't have to disobey them. You can disobey them at a minimum level, and that can put a lot of monkey wrenches in.
I refused to wear a mask when I was held for 69 days, and you know, I have my medical reasons for that, but I was the only guy in the whole jail without a mask on the whole time. Every staff member, every inmate, they all were wearing masks.
But anyway, it's the same way with these companies. Those companies, they haven't even reached the point where an officer is putting hands on them yet, right? There's a thousand things they can do between the point where they get that letter and the point where they have the handcuffs on. And the handcuffs may never even go on.
Yeah, most
right?
of these are civil lawsuits, so it's just money, not handcuffs.
So, you know, the first thing they can do is publicize what's happening to them. Do that before you even answer. Then decide whether you're going to answer. Maybe you don't have to answer. Maybe they can't prove they got a letter to you. you know, maybe you have a bunch of questions for them when they call you, or if they actually end up in front of you in person, you can videotape them. There's just all these things. And yet people just, oh, okay, I'll just stand up and walk over to that car and go right in. You know, and that's what I saw, like, that's what happened at the executive council meeting. The one lady who was brilliant was the lady who they said was developmentally disabled, right? She was the one that her eyes went wide and she screamed and she got, they had to drag her out, right? Mm-hmm.
The 7-year-old
you know,
woman.
She didn't know what was happening to her. Why am I, you know, and she actually put up, not a fight, but she lost her decorum. And everyone else should have done what she did, roughly, not exactly, but, mm-hmm. you know, go out slowly, you know, make an issue of it. Not necessarily in the middle of the meeting. You could make an issue of it once you're outside the building if you don't want to disturb the meeting. There's just so
well, okay,
many
that's it. I don't disagree with you, Dave, and I think that they definitely one of the problems you're dealing with here is a lot of these folks are brand new. They have no activism experience whatsoever, and they let me share one aspect of what happened. One lady, and I won't say which one it was, but one lady got she went quietly, and then when she was released from the jail shortly thereafter, after she was booked and processed and got personal recognizance bail, she was released, and she told the crowd of people that had gathered at the jail that they should leave because it was the jailers, of course, lied to her. She didn't know that she'd been lied to. And somebody that had more experience would have known this. But the jailers lied to her, and they said that that she needed to tell people to go away because that's why it took so long to get her through the procedure, which, of course, you and I know that it just takes them a long time because they're bureaucrats and they don't care how long it takes, you know, to run through whatever procedures they have. But they lied to her, and she did what they asked and told the crowd of people that they should disperse because that would slow down the other people getting processed out. And most people listened to her, and they, you know, they left the area. So it's just sad to see these are people who think they can, like, they still think they can persuade the police, and they think the police are ultimately, you know, on their side. They're just taking orders from Sununu or whatever for some reason, and they're confused, and that if they just are nice enough to them, they're going to wake up and then they'll start arresting Sununu or something. I don't know what they actually believe that they can accomplish through these means, but I understand they don't have much experience at this, and so, you know, they're learning the hard way, unfortunately.
Well, you know, and I hate to, you know, that there's this Richard Hart philosophy. He says, you know, you got to remember that everyone's going to criticize you for what you do because you didn't do the perfect thing. They're going to criticize you because you did the good thing. Mm. It's like, you know, if you cure cancer, they're angry you didn't cure AIDS. If you cure AIDS, they'd want to know why you didn't cure both AIDS and cancer. You know? So we don't want to, I don't want to fall into that trap, but I do want to plant ideas in people's heads as to how we can maximize each bad thing that happens to us.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think that the best thing to do would have been and Footloose is an experienced activist. He definitely has been arrested more than a handful of times, but he also went quietly on, which is unlike him. Normally, he's the loudest guy in the room, and I think he was attempting to do this differently this time than how he normally would do that. And I think that change was an experiment on his part and probably a mistake, because he should have brought attention to it. What happened was the goons came over to him in the middle of the meeting and asked him to get up and come with them. And, you know, he could have just politely declined, right, and made their move right there in front of the entire audience. Instead, they basically arrested him outside of the view of those hundreds of people. And it was a missed opportunity because, you know, I think they had agreed to be as quiet as possible in the meeting so they couldn't be accused of breaking up the meeting. But in that case, it was the state agents who are interrupting the meeting. They were the ones who came up and asked him to leave or come with them. Well, are you just asking me? Well, then no, I'd rather just stay here and watch the meeting. You know, and then he could have raised his voice at that point because they were interrupting the meeting. He wasn't.
Or he could have walked out quietly and very slowly.
He could have.
But it's like the Ross Ulbricht phenomenon, you know, where they told there were a lot of protesters at Ross Ulbricht's trial, which was outside New Hampshire, And he was the guy that was accused of running the Silk Road website and, you know, basically helping people sell drugs safely.
He's a hero.
Yeah, he's my hero too, to some extent, although it would have been better if he had something to do with us. But he walked, what did he do? The judge threatened that if there were continued protests outside the jail or outside the court, that he would retaliate against people. Mm-hmm. The judge would retaliate against various people if there were continued protests, especially Ross, I think. They threatened him. So people said, oh, okay, we'll do what the judge says and we'll stop our protests. So the judge rewarded everybody by giving Ross absolutely nothing. You know, he gave him
the maximum sentence,
the harshest possible sentence, right?
Yeah, that was a sad story, and your telling of it is a little inaccurate. I know who was involved down there. It was Derek J. from Keene, James Cleveland, aka Robin Hood, and Jay Freeville were three of the key activists that were on the ground. They traveled to New York City, to Manhattan for that particular trial. And what had happened was the judge had threatened, specifically the jury, the judge threatened to sequester the jury. And the thought was that, well, that would make Ross look like he was threatening the jury, right? Like the idea was that without any real knowledge as to why this was happening, the judge would make it look like they were under some sort of threat, which would make Ross look more like a kingpin, etc. But ultimately, it was Derek J. and the crew down there. They didn't do it because of the judge said. They decided to abandon their posts outside of the courthouse with, you know, signs like jury nullification and flyers and that sort of thing. They chose to abandon because it was Ross's mom who asked them to. And I think she would admit that this was a mistake at this point because of the point you made that it didn't help in any way, shape, or form. And I think our guys knew that at some level, but they didn't want to piss off his mom, basically. So they deferred to her choice, and it was the wrong choice. But I understand why they made that choice.
You know, on their part, I guess deferring to her may have been the right choice because she's fairly closely tied in with us now, and I don't think that would be the case if they just ignored her request.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a pretty helpful activist.
Yeah, she's great. Liz.
There's also that philosophy where you back the play of your people even if you don't agree with it.
Right.
There's nothing, you know, evil about it or whatever. So I can see that. But again, yeah, just it's a mess. It's not necessarily that Derek made the wrong decision, but that she made the wrong decision. And yeah, what you're saying happened is my understanding of what happened. I thought that's what I was saying.
made it sound like they did what the judge wanted just because of the sake of the judge.
It really wasn't
because of that.
But I'm just saying it was indirectly because of that.
I see what you're saying, but ultimately it was, if it had just been the judge saying that to them, they wouldn't have made that choice. They would have continued. But it was because his mom begged them to stop, basically.
Yeah. The other analogy is, like, I was just watching that movie called The Forgotten Battle last night, which is, of course, not about a forgotten battle. It's just about another movie about Operation Market Garden. But there was a scene in there where the Dutch gal, her dad wants to save all these kids that have been rounded up. They round up all these kids to retaliate against his son because his son threw a rock at a German soldier, right? So the Germans show up at his house and say, listen, you just speak to your son. If he shows up, we'll let all these kids go. So, you know, the dad talks to his son and the son decides to turn himself in. Son ends up tortured. They kill everybody. The dad gets to live with that for the rest of his life, right? But he helped the Nazis. And the son should never have turned himself in. Not knowing what he knew about the Nazis, or not knowing a third of what anyone would have known about the Nazis at that time. So it's just, you know, you don't give them stuff. They're in the United States, it may be appropriate to turn yourself in some circumstances. It's not, you want to just think of what are all the different types of resistance that I can show without hurting anybody between here and there.
Good thoughts, Dave. I think we've run out of New Hampshire exit. related stuff to talk about. Now we're just talking about general activism tactics, which isn't a bad discussion to have. But I don't know if we should keep this up. I think we should wrap it up for the day and meet up again on Sunday for the town hall.
You are free to go, but I actually think I have more news.
Oh, well, tell me, what do you got?
And this is more a piece of news for Mike Sylvia, if he's listening to our recording, which he probably doesn't have the time to do. But he had requested that I reach out to more Texit and CalExit people and invite them to our public meeting on Sundays. And I have reached out to Marcus a couple times with CalExit, who I know. And I guess I should reach out to more CalExit folks. But I've reached out to maybe four Texit folks to invite them to the Sunday meetings. And their email, my experience has been that you never get a response when you email through their website. Although I've only done that twice, but I've never gotten a response. And so I've hunted these people down on Facebook and individually invited them. And we'll see if that leads to anything. It's not a high priority for me, but Mike thought it would be helpful. So I have invited these folks.
Cool.
And I will, any other news that I can think of off the top of my head, I will report after you've left if you feel you need to leave now.
No, I don't need to leave. I'm just going to go grab some water. So feel free to keep
going.
Okay.
I will talk amongst myself. See what there was something else on my list, I think. You know, one thought I had is that it is relative. I think another elephant in the room that we haven't been talking about is the upcoming conflict with China. And I know I did call Free Talk Live about this, but I had some different thoughts, the ones that I mentioned on Free Talk Live. I think what may happen, if you just look at the history of independence movements in the United States, you know, there was the Jefferson movement in Northern California, Jefferson State movement. There was the New England independence movement in the War of 1812, and also the attempt to secede from slavery in New England. The Jefferson effort was derailed by World War II, apparently. The the War of 1812 independence movement was not interrupted by the War of 1812, it was caused by the War of 1812. And when the United States, you know, fought that thing to a successful draw, that resulted in the destruction of the Federalist Party, which had been against the war. They were called Federalists, but they were, to me, they seem more like anti-Federalists. They were against all kinds of federal activity that was going on. And so their party was destroyed, and a lot of liberty was destroyed in the United States after the War of 1812, and because of the War of 1812, we lost our, you know, a party that had been relatively constructive in the issue of decentralization, at least. And anyway, so you know, it wouldn't be a surprise to me if there's a war with China and it interrupts what we're trying to do, or you know, maybe there's a war with China, and the United States wins it. And there's a patriotic fervor that drives independence back into the shadows. It wouldn't be surprised to me if that's kind of how this plays out, just based on historical precedent. Who knows? But it's just a thought. Oh, looks like I'm still on. All right, so I should continue talking. I can do that. You know, and during the Free Talk Live call, you know, we also discussed how New Hampshire independence could help make us a lot safer against all foreign threats to the extent that they exist. And of course, a lot of times they just exist because the United States has been waving its grill around, as opposed to, you know, there's a real foreign threat out there. But if there is one, I suppose China qualifies. Yeah, I may finally be out of news and other things to talk about. Let's see here. Yeah, it looks like I'm all done with news, and I will probably go ahead and bail.
All right, Dave. Thanks, brother.
Okay. Thanks, Ian.
See you later.
Bye.
Check out nhexit.us.
We'd like to invite you to visit freekeen.com. Freekeen.com features audio, video, and blogs chronicling the transition to a voluntary society. Freekeen.com also has comments and discussion forums so you can be heard. Freekeen.com.
I should be in Keene, New Hampshire with the Free Staters.